Okay, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. It's been an interesting month as NASA has gotten photographs of the planet Pluto. And they're supposed to get a whole bunch more next month. But some of the things coming back are absolutely astounding. They did this to Mars. They've done it to the moon. And the reason that initially they were doing these things was with the idea that at some point we're going to land a man there. And when we do, we want to know about the environment. What can he expect? You know, you could be in a spacecraft that is, your environment's totally controlled, and then you open the door, you go out, there could be a gas that's able to permeate the suit you're wearing, kill you in an instant. It could be that as you step onto the ground, if you don't know what's there, it could just swallow you up instantly. There are things, dangers, in any environment that if you go there, you need to be aware of what is around you. You need to know the dangers involved. Christian has already landed on Earth. In fact, we were born here. Very often, our knowledge of our environment is incorrect because of the sources of information that we use. Many times they deliberately try to make things appear better than what they really are. But our existence here on this earth is temporary. The Bible tells us that we have a home prepared for us in heaven. And this is what God says we need to be looking forward to. Jesus used the term being born again. We were born here physically on this earth. But we were born again with a citizenship that isn't here on this earth. In Philippians chapter 3, and I'll get to Colossians in just a second. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The term conversation literally means citizenship. When you get born again, your new passport is stamped from heaven. It isn't here anywhere here on this earth. And there are Christians in just about every nation on the face of the earth today. Their citizenship, while physically might be in that country where they were born, the true citizenship of a believer is obviously going to be in heaven. Now, God gave us instruction on how we're supposed to view our environment. We're here after we've been born again, and suddenly when you're born again, your focus of things changes. When you get saved, your former ideas about how good drugs were changes. Your former idea about how alcohol would help you to be the person you should be changes. The information that the world gave you was misleading and deceptive. But the information that God gives in His Word is accurate 100%. We need to be aware of our environment. Many Christians are thinking the way the world wants them to. And the world wants this world to appear in the best possible light. God paints it the way it is. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, I'd like for you to take a look at verse 9. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds." So we know from that he's talking about Christians. He's talking about born-again people, because you put off the old man. It says, "And you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Renewed in knowledge. Now, this is what we're getting at today. We're born in this planet. Everything that we knew, we take with us into the Christian life. And then we have to redefine things. We have to look at things totally different. The things that we thought were friendly, things that we thought were going to work out, They very often don't. I was seeing a video this morning of some people who thought that they knew their environment. One raised an ape from the time it was just a little character. And it grew up and it hit what is equivalent to the teen years in an ape life. And it became very rebellious. And it almost killed the person who had raised it, put all this time into it. And they didn't suspect that. They didn't have any idea that that ape would ever do that, because they thought, hey, I'm familiar with it. I've had all these years with it. But suddenly something happens. It's the same with the life of a Christian. We're here on this earth. A lot of things that we thought were safe. Look how many times parents raising precious kids will say on a Saturday morning, yeah, go ahead, watch the cartoons, not knowing that your children are going to be indoctrinated with some pretty anti-Christian views, some really serious immoral views. Used to be a time you could turn on cartoons on Saturday and, hey, there wasn't anything wrong with them. They were funny. They were interesting. They were compelling. But then things changed. And this is what is happening in this world. A lot of things that Christians thought were okay, that you could depend upon, they have changed. We have to be aware of it. Well, how? The Bible says through our renewal of knowledge that comes with our relationship with the Lord. He is able to open our eyes. He's the one that can make us aware of what is really happening, what is really going on. I saw also this morning a fellow that had raised a bear cub. And while it hasn't happened yet, it has happened to many other people. He raised this bear cub, and now the bear is like 350 pounds. Huge, huge bear. And there he was playing with it. He was on the ground. They were rolling around. And so he does this for the camera. He tells the bear to open his mouth, and he puts his whole head inside the bear's mouth. Now, that's okay for now. But there's going to come a point where that's going to really be stupid. Because that bear is going to say, you know, I didn't like my Rice Krispies this morning. I think I'd rather have a people head. And he's going to chomp down. And it has happened again and again and again. But you see, if you don't learn from correct information, then you're going to be dazzled by whatever the world's going to throw your way. Over in Romans. I'm sorry, let's take from Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. God wants us to focus our knowledge as it comes from Him. And that means Bible study. That means an open mind and heart to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 28 in verse 31. It's talking about Paul, other believers, his team that went out around the world preaching the gospel. And this is what they're doing. Preaching the kingdom of God. Teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul had a focus. The focus was on preaching the gospel because that is what God called him to do. Now, there are some people that are called to be Christian mechanics. There are some people that are called to be Christian builders. There are some people that are called to be Christian secretaries, Christian office managers, and things like this. God has a calling for every person to testify in that area of calling of what God has done for them. And what we find with Paul is he was called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And he did it powerfully, but what I'm seeing here is a focus. It doesn't say that he, you know, did this and that and another thing, and he was preaching the gospel. That's what he was called to do. And he stuck with it. He wasn't backing down, even though it was against the law in most of the places where he went. even though he was imprisoned numerous times. Paul kept his focus on his calling from God. Now, the world out there says diversify. Have all sorts of things that you're doing. Well, what does that do? That waters down whatever you're doing. Let's just say you're in the kitchen, you're baking a cake. And while you're baking that cake, the kids are demanding your attention in the other room. They've come across a kitten that was injured outside. And they brought it into the room, into the living room, and they say, okay, take care of this little kitten. And so mom with the oven on and all sorts of things going on at the same time, she races to see if she can help the children with the cat. What did that do? That took away from her attention, her focus upon the cake that is now burning in the kitchen. You see what happens when a person is distracted. You've seen it on the road. How many times have you seen people? I just saw one last week. He was stopped at a red light, and thankfully there was another way I could get around him. But when the red light turned green, he had diverted his attention from driving onto texting, and he just sat there. Even though the light was green, he just sat there. Yet, you know, he became a danger to other people. People who were coming up behind him at 50, 60 miles an hour, there he was stopped at a green light. They're looking at the light. He could have been killed, could have injured other people. He diversified his attention. And this is what the world tries to do with us, to get us away from our calling, away from what God says to do half a dozen other things. And you know, there are loads of good things to do. There are orphans in the world. God calls some people to take care of those orphans. But he may not call you to do it. Maybe he has another calling for you. There are people in this world that are called in the medical field. That may not be your calling. There are people in this world that are called to feed the hungry, to take care of people who are homeless, that have all sorts of problems financially, and they're out on the street due to no circumstances of their own. And there they are in need. You know, there are so many good things in this world that you can do. The fact is you can't do all of them, and you can't do many of them well. You have to keep on your focus that God has given to you, the calling that he has given to you. You cannot do all the good things that have to be done. God has called people to do things, all sorts of things. But each individual calling might be different. And he's able to provide for the needs of all different people. But you cannot do everything yourself. We find Paul very, very focused on what he was called to do. And he stuck with it. And God blessed him. And today we remember the Apostle Paul as one of the most powerful and dynamic men, spirit-filled men that existed in the New Testament church. Why? He kept his focus. What if the Apostle Paul said, you know, I want to be a Christian tent maker, and I want to be a rabbi to different synagogues, and he almost got diverted into that, by the way, and I want to take care of the poor, and I want to have an orphanage. I can almost guarantee you that if Paul wanted to do all those things and went ahead with that, you'd never hear of him today, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't be able to use him to the maximum. God will use you when you're 100% committed to the focus, to the calling that God has given to you. You cannot do somebody else's calling. You need to do yours. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. God wants the world to see that his people are blessed and different. And I realize that there's a tremendous temptation on the part of people to say, okay, we have to look like the world, we have to talk like the world, we have to behave like the world in order for the world to listen to us. That's a lie. Jesus did not conform to this world. And the Bible warns us about conforming to this world. The temptation is, well, we have to do this in order to relate to them so that they can relate to us. I'll tell you what, when they're ready to relate to God, they're going to look to you because you're different, not because you're the same as they are. They're going to be looking for something that is different. Why would they be looking to God if they were satisfied with what they already have? They're going to be looking for somebody who stands out like a sore thumb because they are godly, because they put Christ first, because they have a love about them that comes from heaven. There is something different about them. That's what makes a person attractive to the lost. That brings the lost to question, what do you have that I don't have? And then we're able to bring them to the foot of the cross, that they're able to receive the Lord as Savior. But you'll never be able to do it by behaving just like them, doing the same things, acting the same way, going the same places. Never be able to do it that way. In Luke chapter 18, notice what Peter says in verse, let's see, Luke 18, 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manyfold more in the present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. He's talking about a blessing of people having more relationships that are better, people who have others that care about them, that are close to them, that when you're faithful to the Lord and have sold out for God, God's going to reward it. But when does it say he's going to reward it? It says, in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. You see, the world has to see some benefit from you living the Christian life. The world has to see that you have peace. Listen, the average person out there, the average home, they're going to be calling the cops at some time during the next 5 years for some domestic problem, some difficulty that they're having there. And it's all because they don't know the Lord. It's because somebody isn't following Christ. And if you set the example as the people of peace, the people of joy, the people who know how to resolve differences by bringing them to the Lord, that sets the example for the whole community. If they can't see that in you, why would they want to become Christians? Why would they want to be saved? To go to a place that's just like down here? No. God expects more from us. Peter says we've left all. The Lord says no. You haven't left all, but I'll tell you what. Anybody who does and puts me first, they're going to have many blessings of all the things that they have sacrificed. The world needs to see that. The world needs to have motivation. In these last days, it really should be easier for people to identify Christians. It really should. In the workplace, I heard of a case recently where people had been working together for about 4 years. It was a fairly close office. And one of the ladies in the office was invited by someone to come to church. She gave her heart to the Lord. And, man, she changed. God blessed her. God gave her the Holy Spirit, and she started living a powerful life, and she started testifying in the office. And one of the people that she testified to says, hey, listen, I'm on your side. She says, I got saved about 10 years ago. Says, it's wonderful. It's great. And the new Christian says to her, what do you mean you got saved 10 years ago? I have been working in this office for several years. You never once mentioned about Jesus. You never told me anything about the Lord. So what is this that now you say you're saved? She says, all those years you didn't tell me how I could get saved. Now, you can understand why she'd be upset, because she had several years where she could have been saved and wasn't. And this other woman who claimed to be a Christian wasn't living the kind of life that if she, the new Christian, was searching earlier, that she would have even gone to her. So it's so important for the believer to live a different kind of life, a life that really shows that Jesus is in you, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that life has to be seen as more valuable than lives out there in the world that just are fit for destruction. Over in Romans chapter 8, blessings that are ahead. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Okay, we know God's going to bless us now. That's a great thing. The world needs to see those blessings. By the way, if you go into work or you talk to your relatives and you tell them how downcast you are and all your medical problems and, this is happening to me and that's happening to me and financially I can't make it, guess what? They're not going to be interested in anything you have. If you're telling them that you have the same problems and you're not telling them that you have the answer, they're not going to want to get saved. Why would they? They already have that. They already have financial problems. They already have physical problems. Why would they look to anything that you have as being anything better than because all you're talking about is the negative things without the answer? How many of you got blessed this week? Anybody? That's what the world needs to know. The world needs to know that you got blessed by God. The world needs to hear that more than your physical condition and how you're feeling today. And I'll guarantee you this, when you start exalting the Lord and telling people how great He is and how He has blessed you, it's going to affect you physically. You're going to feel better. That's what God's going to do for you. But you know, if all you do, you get on the phone or you see people and you're talking about, well, I had to go to this doctor, I had to go to that doctor, had this happen, had that happen. Man, that's what they've got. They don't want more of the same. They want a God who's going to bless. And this is what these scriptures are talking about. That when you're living for the Lord, you've got something to share with them that should make them want to know the Lord that you know. There are a lot of people today claiming to be Christians. Not all of them are, obviously. As a matter of fact, there's just probably a handful of truly born-again people. I know the Christian movies and a lot of the books that you read will talk about a rapture that is so worldwide that the majority of people in the United States will suddenly disappear. That people all over the world will see all these bodies being raised. Well, I believe in the resurrection that a lot of people call the rapture. It's a resurrection. But I'll tell you what, I also believe what Jesus said, and that is, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You don't see half the people in Sodom leaving to escape judgment. You don't see, out of a couple billion estimated people who lived during the time of Noah, you don't see anybody but Noah's family getting on that ark. So that the whole idea that has been propagated that you're going to turn the world upside down by them seeing all these people suddenly being caught up into heaven, they're going to be so few, you better make sure you're one of them. You better make sure you're one of them if you're going to be here. I think there are going to be some extraordinary things that are going to take place between now and then, where there are going to be a lot of Christians leaving this world in another way. But let's face it, a lot of people, lost people, they're attracted to the whole idea of the rapture. And to give them the false impression that half the country is going to suddenly just disappear, it just isn't true. It just isn't true. The Bible contradicts that. There's always been a minority. Even when this country was founded, Christians were in a minority. Now, the majority of people respected Christians because Christians were different. Christians lived the Christian life. They didn't dare call themselves a Christian and have all sorts of nonsense that goes on today, and people try to claim to be Christians and live a double life. That wasn't the case. And so the majority of people way back in Revolutionary War times respected Christians, even if they didn't become Christians themselves. And today that isn't the case, because so many people want to be called Christians without having truly been born again and making Jesus the Lord of their lives. So the world isn't interested. The world's been turned off. Have you gone into the so-called Christian bookstores today and looked at the music that is out there? Well, you can do the same thing. Go on the internet and look up Christian music. Look at the album covers. You know what? There isn't 2 cents worth of difference between the Christian album covers and AC/DC and all the drug music and the rap music that goes on today. You look at the people performing. And, man, I'd hate to meet up with them in the dark alley. I'm talking about the so-called Christian music. They're mean. They're nasty looking. Now, their message might be okay. I didn't bother to even listen to any of the music because, listen, if you can't get past the lack of joy and if you can't get past the fierce attitude that they have, listen, you're not going to enjoy the music either. And I couldn't get that far. But you look at all this stuff that's out there today, and no wonder the world isn't interested in Christians and they think they're all phonies, because there isn't that much difference between the world and the so-called Christian. God placed us here and kept us here for a reason. Almighty God has the power that when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, He had the power to say, "Come up, my child," immediately. He could have taken us up right then and there, as soon as you got saved. But He didn't, or you wouldn't be sitting here. And there's a reason for that. He left you down here to testify of Him. And along with that testimony of what the Lord has done in your life comes showing the power of God in your life. And that is the power to overcome the things that the world can't. That's what's going to make the difference to them. And it's important that we get that settled in our minds, that we cannot go along with what the world does and the way that it does it. We need to know our environment. It's deceptive. The environment says certain things are good when they're not. The world can poison you, poison your thinking. There, I know that this is a minority view. That's okay. Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." There are blessings ahead. And even though there are few, the Bible talks about a remnant. That's not talking about a majority. It's talking about few in the last days. That's what we're going to be up against. The majority of people who call themselves Christians aren't. And it's very deceptive. Because while they believe in Jesus, they believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They believe Jesus went to the cross. They believe in the Easter message, Resurrection Day. They believe that there is a literal heaven, there is a literal hell. But you see, that doesn't save people. And this is where Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, something has got to change. You need a rebirth. It isn't knowledge that accumulates in your head. You need a rebirth. All those things that I mentioned, biblical things, heaven and hell, Jesus being born of a virgin, the Bible being the total word of God and so on. All those things, you know what? The devil believes them, doesn't he? The devil knows they're true. Listen, the devil was around when Jesus was nailed to the cross, wasn't he? The devil saw that he was raised from the dead on the third day. The devil knows all the things about the Bible, and how many times has he heard it since all those things happened? So the devil's very familiar with all that stuff. But you see, there isn't much difference between his knowledge and the knowledge of the Christian, the majority of Christians, I should say, who think that they are going to heaven because they've never really repented. They've never really turned from what God says revolts him and upsets him. God gave new life to those who would be born again. Those who received him by faith. This is this new life where he sends power into our lives. We need that in a world that is increasingly hostile to Christians. But there are fewer Christians today. And this is what I'm getting at. The world is being deceived because they think everybody who calls himself a Christian really is. And that's very deceptive because it isn't true. Some of you may remember years ago at a presidential election, everybody was clamoring to convince the electorate that they were Christians. Every presidential candidate wanted the people to think that they were Christians. And we have a man in office right now who wants people to think that he's a Christian. It seems like a popular idea. But we have to get it past our thinking that a Christian is just somebody who believes what is written down. There's more to it than that. You could understand an awful lot about George Washington if you read his memoirs, if you read those who, the memoirs of people who had met him, you read the historical documents, you read all about George Washington. But you know, you can have all that head knowledge. You cannot say that you are friends of George Washington. For all that knowledge that goes into your head, you can't say, I'm buddies with George Washington. He's my friend. Any more than just having all the head knowledge about the Bible will allow you to say, I'm friends with Jesus. You see, George Washington's way out there in time. Jesus walked on the face of the earth even further back. But he's alive today, and you can know him. But you see, that's what it takes. The devil rejected the Lord. The devil has never repented. The devil, with all his knowledge, agrees with the majority of people who call themselves Christians. But we know where the devil's going, don't we? The Bible tells us that God has prepared for the devil and his angels a lake of fire. We know that's where he's going. Why? He has all the knowledge. He's heard it so many times. But what has he done with it? Has he asked for forgiveness? Has he turned from his ways of rebellion? No. And see, that's what God wants from us. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth, and you can see this in each one of the Gospels, it talks about what Jesus preached. And he didn't go out preaching, hey, take care of this person, take care of that person, take care of that person. It's very, very clear. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe the gospel. Believe what he says. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus preached. And that changes people's lives. Because when a person gets saved, something amazing happens. God responds to our faith. And God sends His Holy Spirit into our lives to empower us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to comfort us when comfort's needed. And God has provided that for us so that we be different. You know, that's one of the things that you find in the Old Testament. There were just so many people who were saved in the Old Testament. Some are talked about, some aren't. But you know, not all of them had the indwelling Holy Spirit. Not all of them did. This is one of the differences. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth, he said to his disciples, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And he set up Pentecost in such a way that it would be undeniable that when the Holy Spirit came, that these believers were empowered and able to do things they couldn't do before. Such a revolutionary change took place in their lives. And God made them different. People could tell the difference. This world is hostile toward God. They kicked His word out of school. They banned prayer in school. They're getting rid of any mention of the Ten Commandments or any part of His word from courthouses. They're tearing down crosses that might appear on the highways. They're doing away with church bells that remind people to come to church. And in any area that they can, they want to remove any mention of God. The world is at war with a Christian. And Satan is the god of this world. I think one of the very clear things that is happening to America is not only are the people blind because it's a curse that God sends upon a nation that no longer hears His voice, but they're also blind because Satan is blinding them. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them." The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's happened. Doesn't take much to see that happening in the world today. People have become blinded to what is happening. They just kind of sit back and say, "Ho-hum. Everything will get better." It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And we need in these last days to be the lights that God wants us to be. Well, I want you to think for a second about this. When you have a room that's totally dark and all you have is one little match, you get that match lighted. People at every point in that room are able to see that match. They're able to see it because all around them, their environment is dark. They can see that match. I know some of you think that you just don't have it. You can't be the kind of witness God wants. But I'll tell you this, what the Bible says is you can. And it's not because of you, but it's because of the Holy Spirit who's in you if you're saved. And just think about it. That match, you may not have been much of a light when things were really good out there in the world. Go back 75, 100, 150 years in this country when the majority of people were living much more decently and morally than what they are today. People might not be able to see that match very well. But now our environment is dark and people can see you. And that light in you isn't you anyway. It's the Lord. If you're saved, that's who they need to see. And when they see Him in you, not all the complaints and not all the things that happen to you and how you are mistreated and life isn't fair and you don't have time and all the other things that the world says. But when they see the joy of the Lord, that you get up in the morning knowing, hey, there are going to be conflicts, but guess what? I'm a Christian. I'm going to win. I'm going to be victorious today. When they see that attitude, they're going to have to stand back and say, whoa, that isn't my attitude. Where'd you get that? They're going to wonder how you were able to face circumstances in your life that are difficult. You know, nobody pays attention if a multimillionaire has everything going for him, has a new car, new house, swimming pool, all sorts of money in the bank. Nobody pays attention to what's going on because everything's going fine with them. But you take one person who's going through a heart attack or cancer or a financial loss, and everybody's eyes are on them. They're watching. And you know, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to draw the attention of people so that people will notice. And people will be able to see not the way the world behaves, but something different that comes from Christ. Something different where you're sharing the glory that God has given to you. You're sharing the love. You're sharing the knowledge that God has given to you. And it isn't like the world treats problems. You wake up with victory on your lips. You wake up knowing that there may be hardships, but because you're saved and the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the confidence that you're going to be more than a conqueror that day. And God can give that to you. And that's there already, ready to be utilized. The world needs to see it. God makes clear that we cannot become part of this world. I want to share a scripture with you in closing. It's in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Talking about Jesus, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Some people are walking right into the mouth of the lion. Some people are just walking right off the edge of a cliff. Some people are going through the mud and they end up looking like everybody else. And that isn't what God planned. That isn't what God wanted. What God wants is a people who is washed by his word, cleansed by his blood, people who are going to stand firm, who are going to stand truthfully by the Lord, knowing that he promises victory. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? If you're here today and you've never really received the Lord as your Savior, this may be your window of opportunity right now to know the forgiveness that God has wanted all along to give to you, the love that he wants you to experience that you can experience nowhere else, the faithfulness that God alone can give to you. You may have seen other people deceive you, depart from you, treat you despicably, but you'll never find that in God. The Lord Jesus has shown his love and proven it. And I want to encourage you today, if you've never received him as your Savior, open your heart today, repent of your sins. He'll forgive you. He'll give you everlasting life. And he wants to do that today. With our heads bowed, for those of you who already know the Lord, we were talking in Sunday school about window of opportunity. You know, the Lord at certain times says, come up here. Said it to John, said it to Moses, various others. It doesn't have to be a heavenly experience, but sometimes the Lord wants us to come up from where we are to a higher place in our spiritual walk. I want to encourage you today, if the Lord spoke to your heart, to take advantage of that window of opportunity now. And there are going to be things you're going to have to push aside things that are not going to count for eternity in order to make room for things that will. I want to encourage you today to follow the Lord by faith, get closer to Him, make the commitments that He wants you to make, and we'll look forward to all that He's going to do. Father, we praise You today for Your love. No one loves us like You do. Father, I thank You today that we can come and look to Your Word and know that our environment is a present evil world. And that when You came and You saved us and You empowered us, You gave us the power to be delivered from this present evil world and to be the kind of people that attract others to You. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of every window of opportunity to grow in You, to become stronger in our faith. And Father, I pray that if there's even one person here this morning that has been putting off receiving You as Savior, even one person who has been carrying around the burden of sin, and it is heavy, and carrying it with the knowledge that one day they're going to have to pay for their sins. Father, I pray that they might today come to You in faith and receive Your payment for their sins, that they might have life and life eternal. Lord, we thank You for Your love to us. Help us, Lord, each one, to respond to You in faith today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come.